Just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
News Radio 840 WHAS. Good Sunday morning. Bob Sekulder, the Louisville Real Estate Show, here with you to the top of the hour. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday. And what a week of weather we had. Well, hopefully we'll take a break from that. We'll talk about real estate for a little bit. Joining us, who's from Limestone Title and Escrow, two folks over there, Lee Harris, who we all know, legal counsel over there, and also Greta Pittenger. And Greta is a new attorney that's over there. We appreciate them joining us. Also here, Josh Marlin, who's in for Randy Rocky, and you can reach Josh at Swan Financial if you're thinking about going ahead and finding a place to do your loans. Well, Josh and Swan are great people. You can reach Josh at 270-799-3142. And again, if you're picking an attorney to close your loan, then that's Limestone Title and Escrow. Make sure you try their cookies. And I'm Bob Sekulder. I am not only the host of the Louisville Real Estate Show, I am also the owner of the Sekulder team at RE/MAX Properties East. We do a lot of closings. We do a lot of sales. All you need to do if you're thinking about selling your home is give me a call. Let me help you put it on the market, sell it. We get you closed into your new home and help you with the purchase of your home. You can reach me at 376-5483 or go to bobsellslouisville.com. All right. We've got questions that are coming in. If you want to send us an email with a question, bob@wesellouisville.com is the email address. And you can also visit our website, wesellouisville.com. This first one is going over to Lee and Greta. Rebecca is closing on her new home next week, and she read somewhere about escrow accounts. That's for her new loan. Now, she's wondering, what is an escrow account, and is she in charge of opening it? Greta, and I guess at the same time, if you want, Josh, you can jump in there as well.
She might be mistaking an escrow deposit for an escrow account. Typically, if you sell your home, you're going to put some earnest money on deposit, and that's going to go into the escrow account either of the title company where she's going to do the closing, or in the account of her broker. And then once it goes in there, it's protected, just like that person is a trustee or a fiduciary for that money. So it's not going to cost her anything. She just needs to put in her contract how much she's going to put down and give it to the appropriate one of those parties, the broker or the title company, and they will hold on to it for her until closing.
I'm trying to read through this this letter, this email that she sent, and I think what she's referring to is the mortgage that sets up an escrow account. So,
gotcha.
Josh, maybe you should handle that part of it. So when it comes to a loan, what's the escrow part of that setup?
So the escrow account is what the portion of their payment that goes towards their property taxes and their homeowner's insurance is going into that account. It will be set up in their name for the closing, and it gets paid on their behalf whenever those homeowner's insurance and property taxes are due each year.
So it's basically an account that's actually held by the bank, the mortgage company, that it's contributed to, if you elect to do it that way, automatically. So there we go. Hopefully, Rebecca, that helps you. If you want to see a rebroadcast of today's show, go to LouisvilleAnswers.com. That's LouisvilleAnswers.com. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, six sneaky scams employed by dishonest contractors. We'll tell you more about that in a second. Meanwhile, back over to Josh over at Swan Financial. Crystal's is sending us an email. She says she's closing on her new home next month, and she's wondering how she can determine when the first payment will be due. It's an interesting question for anyone who's thinking about closing on a loan. When can you determine when your first payment is due? It's not necessarily the next week or the next couple of weeks. Josh?
Right. So typically, your first payment is going to be due. The easiest way to explain it, so say you close on April 15th, your first payment will not be due until June 1st. Now, if they change that based on paying days of interest at closing, then your payment could be due the following month. Closing April 15th could be due on May 1st. But typically, the month after your closing, you skip a month, and then your first payment is due.
All right. Very good. I see that on our video, because we're doing this on Zoom, I see that Lee has handed the headset over to Greta. So, Greta, this next question is for you. Jeremy has an interesting problem. He remembers sitting in his parents' closing when they bought a home years ago and watching them all sign all sorts of papers. So this is going to be a good test for Greta to see how good she is on this. He says he remembers there were a lot of papers to sign, and he's wondering, he's got carpal tunnel syndrome, and he dreads having to sign all the papers at his upcoming closing in 2 weeks. And he's wondering, can he have a rubber stamp made to sign all the documents?
Can he use a rubber stamp? That's such a good question. He cannot have a rubber stamp made. Even us notaries at the closing table, even though we rubber stamp it, we still have to sign too. But my best recommendation for him, because it does have to be a wet signature at closing, in other words, meaning live ink on the paper, would be to designate a power of attorney, designate a POA, and come to closing and enjoy the experience. But he doesn't have to hurt his hand the whole time that he's there.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question that I was once told, and you can tell me if I'm mistaken here, but I was told that even if you write an X or a smiley face, that could represent itself as your signature. Is that true by chance?
Yes. I think in Kentucky, we're a make your mark state. So whatever you designate your signature to be is your signature. But typically what we prefer is that mark matches what you have signed on your driver's license. So if you are going to be somebody who draws a smiley face with cat ears, make sure that that's on your driver's license too, so that at closing, we can verify not only your identity, but also that your signature matches your government issued ID.
Okay, so if I drew a smiley face on they would not accept it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, it depends. Like if there were, like if we go back to our last question with the carpal tunnel, and that's what it had come down to at this point, then I'm sure there could be some leeway given and a signature and name affidavit executed to account for that.
Got it. All right. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so now you know, if you want to do that, do it on your driver's license first and then just continue it through. That's a great tip. If you want to see what potential, well, actual sellers are saying about us, not potential, they've actually worked with our Sekolar team, you can go to LouisvilleZillow.com or LouisvilleGoogle.com. We made it easy for you to see our reviews. We're really proud of them. LouisvilleZillow.com or LouisvilleGoogle.com. All right, Joshua is shopping for his first home, and he's wondering in this email, what are some of the things that he and other home buyers should be aware of while shopping for mortgages as a home buyer? What are some of the things that he should be looking at when he's interviewing prospective mortgage companies?
That is an excellent question. There's a lot of things that you definitely want to look for. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is going to be your interest rate. That is going to affect your payment the most. You definitely want to shop around to find the lowest interest rate so you get the lowest payment that you can find. Mm-hmm. You want to shop around and look at what kind of fees the mortgage lender is charging you, because they vary from lender to lender. Those are two big things.
I would suggest one, how quickly does the loan officer that you contact get back to you? Because ultimately, the tardiness of a loan officer or anybody who you're calling, if they don't get back to you for a day or two, that's the way it's going to be down the road when you try to reach them and have a question that you need to have answered quickly. So I would always, I think my suggestion is check on the return time for them to get back to you. Half hour, that's fine. But a couple of days, maybe not so good. Does that sound good, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely want someone that does communicate with you, takes your calls, you know, because if you have a question and they don't get back with you in the beginning, you know, once you're under contract, if they don't get back with you for a couple of days, that could put, you know, a delay on everything. So, yeah, that is definitely something that's very important as well.
We have a bi-monthly newsletter, folks. If you'd like to sign up for it, it's free of charge, no obligation. Go to WeLoveLouisville.com. That's WeLoveLouisville.com. All right. Back over. Looks like Lee's got the microphone back. So, Lee Harris over at Limestone. Jeffrey bought a home 2 years ago, and he's paying PMI. That's private mortgage insurance. He's wondering, how does he get rid of PMI payment, and what are the steps involved in determining if it can be removed? And Josh may want to jump in on this one as well. Lee, you want to start it?
Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've got to get your mortgage balance down to 80%. Once you have 20% equity, you can it goes through the number of years that you have it, or you can prove to the PMI powers that be that you have the equity there and you can get it removed. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. It also depends on the loan type. There are some loans that the mortgage insurance does not come off of. FHA, unless you put 10% down in the beginning, the mortgage insurance is on there throughout the life of the loan. Now, typically on a conventional loan, once you hit that 79% mark, it will come off automatically. But if you want it to come off when you hit that 80% mark, you have to reach out and prove that you've paid that loan to value down to that 80% mark. Otherwise, it goes down another percent and then it'll come off automatically.
Josh, does equity count? So if your home is appreciated in value by 20% over a period of a year or two, will that help you eliminate PMI?
That is a good question. I think if you were going to try to do that, you would have to pay for an appraisal and send that over to the servicer of your mortgage.
Okay, we have a question on servicing coming up in a little bit, so hang on with that one, just so you know. You know, we have a free no-obligation booklet. If you're thinking about selling your home now or in the near future, if you'd like a copy of it, simply send me an email, bob@wesellouisville.com, and put selling tips in the subject line, and we will send out the booklet to you via email free of charge and no obligation. bob@wesellouisville.com and selling tips. All right. Lee, this question for you. Erin sold her home, and the closing is scheduled for 2 weeks from this Monday, I guess tomorrow. She just found out her work is requiring that she be out of town for 4 days prior to the closing date. And she's wondering what happens if she's not able to get all the furniture out by the time she signs the paperwork at the closing table.
Oh.
What happens? Yeah.
Well, in your contract, you undoubtedly have a paragraph that talks about the possession date and time. And usually that is at the, you know, simultaneous with the closing. And in that same paragraph, it'll say that, you know, all of your personality should be removed. The property should be broom clean. And anything that was supposed to be repaired should be done. All of that should be done before the actual closing time so that you can hand your keys over and the buyer can take possession. If you already know that that's not going to happen, then you probably need to get an agreement, a post-occupancy agreement with your buyer, which would mean that you're essentially staying over after the closing. You're kind of becoming a tenant in your own house. Sometimes they require you to pay a little bit of per diem for that. And then they would get a second walkthrough in order to make sure whenever that time frame is over that it's still, you know, there's no holes in the wall and it hasn't been damaged since their previous walkthrough. But I wouldn't just show up there and not have the items removed without any kind of agreement, because we see that a lot and it does cause problems between the buyer and seller.
Yeah, and Aaron, we should point out that sometimes the buyer may not want to grant you a post-occupancy agreement, which could create a bigger problem for you. So better to address this immediately, like right now or as soon as this show is over, call your agent and ask the agent to put in an email or call to the seller's agent or the buyer's agent in this case and explain that you may not be out in time. What can you do to make it work? Because that could be a problem for you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about 6 sneaky scams employed by dishonest contractors. With us continuing, we've got Lee Harris and Greta Pittenger, who are over at Limestone Title and Escrow. You can reach Lee and Limestone, as someone just did a few moments ago, trying to get a hold of Lee. 649-7964. That is her direct cell phone number. Also, Josh Marlin is in for Randy Rocky over at Swan Financial. You can reach, I'm going to give Randy's number out because his number is so well known, 645-0736. And then Josh's number, 270-7999. 3140. And if you're thinking about selling your home now or in the near future, we would love to be able to help you. I own the Socolor team. I come out personally. We talk about what the process is. It's a free, no obligation analysis that gives you an up-to-date idea of what the price of your home is and what the process is to getting it sold. If you'd like to talk, I'd love to talk to you. 376-5483 or go to bobsellslouisville.com. We're back in a moment on News Radio 840 WHAS.
Welcome to the future of home ownership with Swan Financial. Here's Randy Rocky.
Say farewell to the high mortgage rates with our game-changing solution, the Interest Rate Buster.
Listen to this.
We redefined the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, offering unprecedented rates between 5 and 6% APR for the entire loan duration.
For more information on how to get that loan, call Randy Rocky at Swan Financial at 502-645-0736. That's 645-0736. NMLS 26362 and 2473.
This is Lee Harris, owner and attorney at Limestone Title and Escrow here in Louisville, Kentucky. We are an experienced team of processors and attorneys who will be happy to help you with your closing needs. We are known for our flexible closing times. We're open to nights and weekends, whatever suits you or your clients. We can help you provide a smooth and quick closing and help with difficult situations based upon our history of expertise and experience in closings. Call us anytime at 502-632-2222.
Shopping for a home? The place to start is RE/MAX Properties East. Experienced, caring, top producing agents who service all of Louisville and surrounding areas. On your computer or on your smartphone, head to homesinlouisville.com and sign into one of the most advanced home search sites in the country. That's homesinlouisville.com. Residential or commercial real estate, let the award-winning agents at RE/MAX Properties East help. Take the first step in your house hunting journey. Visit homesinlouisville.com or call 425-6000 today.
In today's real estate market, you want someone you can trust in the driver's seat. In Louisville, that's Bob and Greg Socolor.
Bob and son Greg have helped thousands of families just like yours turn challenges into solutions. They can give you a guaranteed sale, a custom marketing system to get your home sold on your timeline and for the most money, and they have an instant cash offer program.
You deserve the best there is. Bob and Greg, go to WeSellLouisville.com.
You'll be glad you did.
News Radio 840 WHAS, Bob Socolor, Louisville Real Estate Show. We're here with you to the top of the hour. Thanks for staying with us. Continuing with us, Lee Harris and Greta Pittenger. We're over at Limestone Title and Escrow, and you can reach Lee on her cell phone at 649-7964. Limestone does a great job at getting your loan closed. And we should also tell you they also offer cookies, which are great. So just know that's a little perk by closing at Limestone. And also here in for Randy Rocky, Josh Marlin, who is over at Swan Financial. You can reach Randy and the folks over there, 645-0736. If you're thinking about selling, you can send me a call me at 376-5483 and for a free, no obligation analysis of what we're doing. But I also wanted to thank Barbara Corcoran for joining us on our commercial, because she is our mentor, a friend from Shark Tank fame, and a great lady, and we certainly appreciate her being part of our team. All right, so we're talking about some scams that are going on. Here are six employed by dishonest contractors fudging the flooring measurements. So you actually paid for more materials than you need. This happens, along with providing samples that are of a higher quality than the actual product. That's a scam. Making your deposit disappear. That has happened. Make sure you got a copy of the check. If you're giving a check or you're paying by credit card, make sure you save receipts and make sure you can track the money that you're giving that potential contractor. Also, some con artists will advertise deals that are too good to be true, and they turn out to be too good to be true. So you need to check and make sure you're not being scammed. Quoting low prices, then overcharging on the actual bill, and then is also making false claims about their products, things like warranties, options, customizations that you accept as the buyer, but then when you get them in your house or it's installed, it turns out that they are not 100% under warranty or things along that nature. So those are some of the scams that are out there. Good to be aware of them and good to keep an eye out for them if you're having contractors do work on your home. Back to the questions we go. You want to send me a question, bob@wesellouisville.com, and just put the question in the email and send it to me. Stephanie did that. She's shopping for a mortgage, wondering what of the best questions to ask a lender when shopping for a mortgage. So, Josh, this is one of those questions again. They're asking, what are some of the best questions to ask lenders when shopping for a lender?
You definitely want to talk about options as far as programs go. You want to ask about interest rate and what they could get. You want to ask minimum credit score qualifications are always important as well.
Yeah, some of the things that you want to do is shop at least three lenders. Get, as Josh mentions, what their interest rates are, and they should really all be pretty close. But also what you want to do is look for junk fees in their estimates, and they'll send you an estimate, a good faith estimate, and you want to make sure that what they're sending you in there aren't some extra fees. And you can actually find that pretty easily if you start comparing three or four of the people that you talk to when they've given you an estimate. The other option is check with your agent. Buyer agents are trained to look at these lending institutions and get a recommendation from your agent of who they like to work with, because that will help you determine who they have experience with and who, in fact, does a good job. Those are some of the things I would suggest. Back over to Lee Harris and Greta. Amy has a water problem on her property. She sent us an email saying she has had water pooling in her yard since early September of last year, and I suspect with this week of weather, she has some more. She contacted the water company. They said they found no leaks. Finally, a plumber determined the water was not coming from her home. She said it's coming from her next-door neighbor. Her homeowner association says it's a civil matter, and they want her, Amy, to confront the next-door neighbor. Amy says she doesn't like confrontations, and she is wondering, what can she do to avoid a face-to-face meeting? What would you suggest on that, Lee or Greta?
Well, Amy, I'm with you. I don't like confrontation either. And my husband always says, well, you're an attorney. And I said, I know, but I still don't like confrontation. So I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. So I think the best thing to do is to, I know it sounds weird to send your neighbor a certified letter, but perhaps send them a letter or deliver a letter to them and explain what the problem is. And if you have an estimate, for example, of what it's going to cost to fix it or how to fix it from a professional, I would add that as well. And, you know, basically explain that the homeowners association has told you, Amy, that this is a civil matter and you don't want to go there with your neighbor because you want to have friendly relations. So can we get this worked out amongst ourselves? And, you know, depending on who your neighbor is and how they react to things like that, you know, some neighbors would say, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Yes, let's get it worked out. And some would say, you know, go pound sand. So, or somewhere in the middle, like let's split it or something like that. So once you have that, you know, letter sent and you get the response, give them a short time frame to respond to you so you know whether they missed the deadline or not, and then, you know, contact us back and we'll see what the next step is if it doesn't go well.
Yeah, do you think that's gonna work though, Lee? Will the letter
When people have these disputes, if they're friendly neighbors, generally neighbors will work things out. Sometimes you get those situations where you got a neighbor who's just, you know, doesn't want to deal with any issues and just is going to either ignore it or say, no way, it's not my problem. And in that case, that's what you do have to go to the courts for. But courts are expensive and time consuming and stressful. So anything you can do to avoid going there is always the best.
Good suggestion. If you want to see what sellers are saying about us, I do videos with our sellers at a closing table. You can go to LouisvilleSellersTalk.com, and I've done with buyers as well, LouisvilleBuyersTalk.com, if you want to check those out. All right, we go back over to Josh. Tiffany bought her first home 2 years ago and was just notified that another company is going to be servicing the loan. And in this email, she is wondering, what does servicing actually mean, and why does the mortgage company that actually closed her loan send it to somebody else? Why does that actually happen, Josh?
So the mortgages are, you know, the lender may keep the mortgage and service it themselves, or they may package a group of mortgages and sell them to another servicer. And the servicer is basically just who you make your payment to. You know, they make sure that your escrow payments get paid on time to your for your property taxes, your homeowner's insurance. But the only thing that can change is who you make that monthly payment to. They cannot change your terms, your interest rate, or anything like that. They're just the ones who handle taking in your payment.
Okay. So, and if something changes, like terms or interest rate or your dollar figure, you need to contact somebody. Who would you suggest they contact? I'm not sure that that's happening, but it's certainly an interesting point.
Yes, and it definitely should not happen. I would recommend definitely contacting the servicer that you got the letter from who is currently servicing your mortgage first. Hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Why has my payment changed? Because it could be something simple as your homeowner's insurance premium increased or your property taxes increased. That could change your monthly payment. But as far as your terms, that should never change. You definitely want to contact the servicer first, and then if that doesn't get resolved, then you probably want to reach out maybe to an attorney or even your original lender to see what they can do to help you out as well.
All right. Ryan is, we go back over to Lee. Ryan says he got a great gift a couple of years ago. In this email, he says his father-in-law bought his wife and him a house as long as they agreed to pay it back. Fast forward 3 years later, now it's been paid off, and Ryan says the father-in-law is refusing to give them the deed and hold up his side of the bargain, and he says the father-in-law is trying to kick them out of the house, and he's wondering what can they do. This sounds like a family squabble that's gone really wild. Lee just passed the microphone over to Greta. Go ahead, Greta.
Yeah, this is how we tag team over here.
Yeah.
Tell me, his name was Ryan, is that correct?
Ryan is right, yeah.
Okay. So in this particular case, they had an agreement, and it sounds like the father-in-law is breaching the agreement that they had. The questions that I would ask up front are, do they have a written agreement? Do they have a contract? And if so, then that contract should be enforceable. Mm-hmm. If they don't and they have a mutual understanding, it might be a little bit more difficult, especially with family members. But they definitely still have a case for this. If they can show that there's the proof of the funds that have been paid and they had an agreement at some point in time, I would recommend that they try to handle this amicably between family members, because like Lee said, courts are no fun. You spend money and opportunity cost of your time and efforts, and nobody wins. It's a lose-lose. I would want to see the title to this property too, because maybe at the time that it was purchased, maybe the wife is on the title and they're just not aware of it, like the daughter and the father-in-law together or her father. But ultimately, if there's a breach of the contract, then they have the right to enforce it.
So Greta, if he's right and they haven't had any changes, things like that, are they just out of luck at this point if there's nothing been documented?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they do have a case for this. They relied on this. There is the detrimental reliance in this case that they paid all these payments. They had assurances that they were going to obtain this property upon the payoff of it. Mm-hmm. And then Lee just wrote me a little note here. The father-in-law has been unjustly enriched, which is the case. He induced them into this agreement. He can't now take the money and the home altogether. But in order to get there, they're going to have to enforce this. You know, this isn't just something you can read the law out to your father-in-law and he'll agree to it. It has to actually be enforced.
Great. I'm hoping for their sake that this is a family squabble that can be put back together again, because I'm a little worried for both of them, the couple with the father-in-law all of a sudden having this. That doesn't sound good. Well, we are out of time. I want to thank our folks who were here. In for Randy Rocky, Josh Marlin, who is over at Swan Financial. You can reach Josh immediately. There goes my timer. You can reach Josh at 270-799-3142, or you can reach Randy at 645-0736. That's a 502 area code. That's if you're looking to get a loan for a home, both here and in Bowling Green and a variety of other areas. If you're thinking you're looking for a place to close your loan, you can pick the closing attorney that you want. And Lee Harris and Greta Pittenger now over at Limestone Title and Escrow are great folks to talk to. Lee's direct cell is 649-7964. And if you are thinking about selling your home now or maybe in the near future, listen, one of the most important things, I talk to a lot of sellers every week and they want to know, well, what's the price? How can we determine what the price of the home is? And that changes on a regular basis. Now, lately been going up. And what I do is I come to your house with my laptop and I open it up and we start looking at comparables. That's one of the things I do when I come out and we talk. You can reach me anytime. It's a free, no obligation analysis. I love what I do. So it's like I'm not really working. I just enjoy this. You can reach me at 502-376-5483. Or you can go to bobsellslouisville.com. We are out of time. See you next week on News Radio 840 WHAS.